Order. Ann, would you take the roll, please?
Henschel.
Here.
Nimitz.
Here.
Rolo.
Here.
And Tubbs.
Here.
And we're noted that Leonard and Walters are absent and excused.
Is there any conflict of interest that anyone needs to report with respect to tonight's agenda? Okay, hearing none. I do have one addition to the agenda that we'll put under new business, and that will be discussion of the Planning Commission's interest in applying for a grant from the Michigan Association of Planning regarding health planning technical assistance. And we'll put that under new business. And with that amendment to the agenda, I would entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll so move, or second.
Moved by Commissioner Grollo with support by Commissioner Nimitz to approve tonight's agenda as revised. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The agenda is approved. We next need to approve our minutes of our regular meeting of November 7, 2017. Are there any additions or corrections that we need to make to the minutes? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes of our regular meeting.
Not on that one. I've seen it. Where I think it's the ZBA minutes. Did you notice that? You had the same person.
I did. I wouldn't do that. Okay. Call me out in public.
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Henschel with support by Commissioner Nimitz to approve the minutes of our regular meeting of November 7, 2017. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Those minutes are approved. We next need to approve the minutes of our site review meeting of November 7, 2017. Are there any corrections that we need to make to those minutes? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
I make a motion to approve those minutes.
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Grollo, supported by Commissioner Henschel, to approve the minutes of our site review meeting of November 7, 2017. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Those minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is public comment. For any item that is not on the agenda, would anybody like to make any public comment this evening? Please give us your name and address.
Scott Spolecki, 1239 US 31 North. I went to a meeting a few weeks ago about a proposal you guys set up, maybe to have a change in the zoning. Well, anyway, it got shelved. So I would just, I don't really know what to do next. I wish I would have known this a year ago. Our planner and our administrator, they were there as cheerleaders, so I'm pretty sure that's why I got shelved. So I'm not going away. We haven't resolved this. I need something on my land. I don't know what you guys can fix here for me, but I don't want to break the law and build something. I don't want to be compelled. I have four contingent neighbors. We take up about well over 200 acres of land. Three of my contingent neighbors already have barns. The third one, or the fourth one, would love to help me build mine. So I'm kind of at a loss, so I'm asking for your help to see if I can get anything so that my little, because my idea of little treasures may not be the same as what other people's are.
Yeah,
if I have to leave them sitting out in the open, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I did see, and I'm not trying to cut you off, but to respond.
I'm done. Something else has to.
I did see, as we reviewed the minutes of the board meeting, and I did see in the minutes of the board meeting that there was a motion to approve what we had suggested to the township board, and it died for lack of support. And there was no support to that motion, and so therefore it didn't pass. Coming back to here, I think, the Planning Commission, as I read it, was receptive to what your thoughts were on that. And at this point, the Township Board has spoken through, not speaking maybe, but I don't know that there's anything else you could do here, because I don't think we're going to do anything else until we get some direction from the Township Board that they're interested in pursuing.
That's what I find highly unusual. I don't think in all the time I've been on the board that they've ever just set it aside. They've always sent it back, give us their grievances, and then let us work it over again. or told us flat out, no, we're not going to do it. We didn't get anything, as far as I can see from the minutes. They just shelved
it. Well, I wish you could have saw the tape. I don't think it was in the minutes, but yeah, I don't know who are the esteemed supervisors. Mrs. Friend, possibly?
Yes.
She sure did have a pretty good joke about it. So I knew where it was going right then and there before she even brought it up.
Well, and I'm not going to comment on what the township board did or didn't do.
It was on the video, so I don't know what was written down.
I'm not going to comment on that. But all I can tell you is I think if you want to effectuate change, it's probably at that level and not at this level at this point in time.
So you guys can't help me at all?
All we can do is make our recommendations to the township board, and if they decide not to act and take it, I don't think we can go back to them and say, yeah, we're going to do this again for you. I don't think we're going to take that time to do that.
Well, thank you very much for the time I put into this then. I guess so.
I think we can formally ask the town board to give us why. What's their thoughts on it? Why are they against it? Did they mean for us to look it over again, or do they just absolutely don't want this ordinance?
I guess I interpreted it that they didn't give us direction to look at it over again with some thoughts about what might be more acceptable to them,
right,
if anything. So without that direction, I don't think it makes sense for us to spend the time on it.
No, I think we should, as a board, we should send a note to them and say, hey, we want to know what happened here.
I think anyone can make a motion. And we can have debate on it and whether we do that or not. Personally, I don't know that it makes sense to do that. I mean, because I think that's something that if anyone wants to call to talk to any board member, I think they're free to do that.
I think it's pretty much a slap in the face for the board, our board. You know what I mean? I mean, there's nothing. They can't even come back with anything to us. I don't like that. I don't think it's right. And I've never seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
In all the years I've been on this board, they've never done that I know of. And
my personal opinion is too, Rob, is I would have at least liked to have seen a vote.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing to vote on. If there's no support of the motion, to vote on. But
well, there was five of us that voted yes to send that forward. And I think there was another member that would have voted for it had the lakes part of it not been connected to it. And I have to kind of agree with Ted that I kind of took that as that our opinions, without a vote to even say no, is really kind of to me that our opinions didn't really matter.
Or a statement. They don't like
them. Because I look at them as being our peers.
I'll tell you something I don't like. County planning doesn't like it. Well, then, why are we here? Let's just let county planning take over.
Well, yeah.
That's what they're basing it on?
My view is we're two separate bodies. I mean, there's the township board that's elected by the citizens of the township, and then there's a planning commission that's appointed by the township board. And we have certain distinct function, separate and apart from the board, but on some occasions when it comes to enacting revisions to the zoning amendment, then that's ultimately a township board and public policy decision. I'm not necessarily second-guessing either one of you that you might like to have an explanation as to why they did what they did. I mean, I think that's a legitimate question. It's just whether or not we as a body can dictate to them that they have to do that. I don't think that we can. I suppose any of us can request it. And as I said, if you want to make a motion, I'd certainly entertain a motion to do whatever. But so.
I don't really think you need a motion, but I'll make a motion that we ask why. Send a letter, a note to the town board, and ask them, where do we go from here? What's their thought?
It'd be easier if you just asked your administrator and planner here, because they're the ones who don't want it. Nobody showed up when this all went through public comment.
Yeah.
I was kind of like the only one here. No. So if all the citizens of the township are for it because they were no show,
that's not.
We're not going to devolve into an argument.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm not blaming you. I just don't want to do
them
that.
And they'll tell you.
But they can't tell us, because ultimately it's the members of the township board who had to make an individual decision as to whether to support Commissioner Bartlett's motion. And so each of them individually made a decision not to support it. And so I don't know that there is a consensus on the township board one way or the other, other than the fact that there was not two people, not one that made a motion, and then another person on that board that supported that motion. So I don't know what their own individual thought process. Some of them may have thought to themselves, I'm not going to support this because it deals with the lakes area. I'm not going to support this because it deals with something more than the lakes area. I'm not going to support this because they don't think it makes sense to do that.
No.
We might end up with six different opinions as to why they didn't support it.
I've always wondered about going to the township board meetings. I never felt it was right for me to go to the township board with my opinion. They should get the facts and then make a decision. But maybe some of us that were four of us should have went to the meeting and heard our side of it. Obviously, they didn't hear our side of it for whatever reason.
I suppose we're all entitled and able to go to the meeting.
I've talked to Beth too. So,
Leslie.
And what the supervisor did say was that she had never, or very rarely ever, had the county, the assessing department, the planner, and the zoning administrator be against something, and that they were relying on our professional opinions, and that's what was.
And your opinion didn't follow the board. The majority of the board.
And it doesn't always follow the board.
Our original staff report, I believe, mentioned our concerns and had the memo from the assessing office in it too.
And I think we can.
And staff's responsibility is to express concerns to the. You can take them and use them. You can dissuade. You can decide not to use them.
Yeah, I don't take exception to that. I think you're right. I think you owe a duty to the planning commission. I think you owe a duty to the township board to express your thoughts one way or the other with respect to matters that may be before the board that are pertinent to your expertise. So I don't.
And then secondarily, state law requires when there's a county planning commission that any amendment to our code go to them for comment. That's state law.
Just comment.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what they provided.
What they
have no jurisdiction over us. Just comment.
Comment.
But that's up to the township board as to whether they want to give that comment any merit or not.
Right. They don't vote up yay or nay. They just provide comments on whether they like the idea or not.
Yeah, I think at this point in time, it's to me, and well, you have a motion on the floor, I think, Ted, did you not? So if you can repeat that for me, because I don't want to ignore that you did that.
I would like to make a motion that we petition the township board for any data on this, why they didn't even contact us back, or what were their reasons for their decision to just, I guess, not act on it, like Louis said. Of course, I guess they have to have somebody second in order to get a vote, but I understand that part of parliamentary procedure.
Yeah, I think
it would just be nice to know.
I don't know.
I'll be honest with you, I'd just like to let them know that I'm upset as a planning commission member. But in 25 years of doing this, I've never had the board do this to me before.
Well, I presume that that Ted's comments in that regard would be reflected in the minutes of this meeting, in his thoughts in that regard, and it'll get communicated to the township board in that way if you choose not to contact them in any other way.
Has anybody seconded it?
No, not yet.
No,
and I will.
My only concern is that I'm really sorry that I should have watched the meeting, and so I feel like I'm not sure that I have a really good, you've been on here a lot longer than I have, a really good feel for what went on, because I didn't see it, and I wish I would have watched it. I'm sorry, so that I can't.
But aren't you interested in finding out what they have to say?
Yeah, I know. You know.
Second my motion, so we can debate.
Debate it, so we can debate it.
If there's a second, we can debate and have discussion.
Okay. Well, I'll second it, so we can have discussion.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
So I understand the township's authority.
Mm-hmm.
They said, you know, for this reason, that reason, we're not going to do it. But just to not put nothing in the minutes or anything, they just, for lack of support, no action.
Did any of you watch the meeting?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. No, I didn't. I wish I would have.
Some of them expressed concerns during the discussion. Obviously, none of them made a motion to deny. I don't think you necessarily have to make a motion to deny. If the motion to approve fails, then
right. I understand.
Dies from lack of
Robert's
support.
But
Yeah, so let me, if I may just, it's been moved by Commissioner Henschel that the Planning Commission request from the township, send a request to the Township Board for an explanation as to why there was a lack of support to the motion to approve the zoning ordinance amendment.
Oh, it was 6-17
with support by Commissioner Nimitz. So is there discussion on that?
Well, I wish I would have seen them. I apologize for not seeing the video. And I wish I would have the opportunity to do that.
I think you're actually able to go on our website. And
I do. I can watch it now, but we're talking. You know, it's
well, I mean, just
it's hindsight. Well, maybe we should.
It would have helped if you would have.
Right. Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Do you feel like we need immediate response, or do you think we would be wise to go back and watch it and then ask for that, or do you think that would shed any light on what you're wanting to hear?
I would like to hear, even, I don't know if it would show you in the video, why they, you know, what was their, why would they go against the whole Planning Commission without giving us a chance to compromise or something?
Yeah, my whole thing on this one, I can't support your motion, and why I can't, I think it's because you're asking why they, as a township board, did something. They didn't do anything. There was no support for the motion that was made, and so the township board did not act as one. In essence, there just wasn't support for the motion.
Doesn't mean anything to you that we spent how many?
I'm not saying.
And they don't even have the.
I guess I don't.
They're not supporting the board, basically.
I understand your point. I mean, as I said before, I think it's a legitimate question to ask. But on the other hand, to me, it's they're a separate body, and they act as a separate body, and we don't have jurisdiction over them. And we make recommendations to them, and they can do with it what they want with it, which is nothing in this particular instance. It's not the first time they've rejected.
Not the first time they've rejected.
But it's rare. But when we're asking why they did what they did, if you're referring to one as a township board, I don't know that there's an answer to that.
The other question is, why didn't staff go to them a long time ago and say, this is what we're working on, are you guys interested in it? Why waste all our time?
Well,
they're not interested in it.
Because it's your job, and you're taking it personally, Ted.
Yeah, sometimes, though,
I am taking it personally.
It's a board.
What's
you guys
a board?
Are a board.
Yeah.
You're not.
But the majority of this board voted for it, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't even been there. And
yeah,
we spent all that time, and they're basically saying, we don't even want to look at it.
Well,
we even spend any time
on
it?
You have to watch it.
Hold on a second. Let me just say this, if I may. I think this gentleman brought this issue to us as a planning commission. I think he came to us several months ago, and I don't remember exactly when the first meeting he was at, and said, hey, I've got an issue here, and I'm not allowed to build a accessory structure because I don't have a principal residence on the premises. What can we do about this? And we said, well, let's start having a discussion and talk about it. We could have said, hey, time out. Let's go to the township board first to see if they think we want to go down this road. But that's not how it came to us, not how we started it. So I don't think the township board necessarily even knew that we were working on this unless they read the minutes to... You know, but they probably didn't put it on their agenda saying, oh, we noticed in their minutes are discussing this issue. Let's put a stop to this because we don't agree with this. No, I think they probably said, let's let it run its course, see what they do. If they don't make a recommendation, then we won't address it. And if they do, then we'll address it at that time. And I think that's an appropriate way to do it. I don't think they necessarily had to be proactive. He came to us. If he had gone to the township board and the township board said, hey, maybe it's a good idea, maybe not, go to the planning commission, then maybe he'd say, hey, you know, you send him to us for a zoning amendment, and then you just ignore everything we did. Then
we just say, oh, you need to go to the township board first to see if they're interested in it.
Maybe.
I thought he had to go to the township board.
Well, because he said, I mean, the
I
other
would have. I w- it was suggested that I come here, so I don't.
Okay. I think generally this is a starting point. We do occasionally have joint meetings with the township board on certain issues to sort of gauge some interest that the township board may have in certain things so that we don't go down a road that is for naught and spend a lot of time doing it. But I just, to me, it was, and I don't know whether they had a full quorum at that meeting or not, but one person made a motion and six.
They took their raises, and it sounds like a lot of people didn't make very much money.
When it came to support,
it's okay,
excuse me, when it came to supporting that motion, nobody supported it. And so there were individual decisions, and to some extent, from my perspective, in silence as to not. You don't have to give an explanation why they don't support. They just don't have to say anything.
There was a fair amount of discussions and questions back and forth. I mean, I'm not saying it was elongated or anything like that, but, you know, I gave the summary, and then there was questions back and forth from some of the board members, and then they proceeded from there. And some of them gave reasons, or you could, in the questions they asked, you could see where their concerns were, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, there's a motion on the floor with support. So the motion by Commissioner Henschel. Any further discussion, I guess, before? Okay. Motion by Commissioner Henschel with support by Commissioner Nimitz to request from the Township Board rationale for their decision not to act on the recommendation regarding Zoning Amendment 6-17. Hopefully I said that correctly again. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. No.
No.
Okay. So the motion is defeated. But and
okay.
And I think
that's okay. Though.
No, and you can
talk
yeah.
about it.
No, right. And I appreciate that.
My concerns have been answered. So.
And I think anybody's free to
watch
make phone calls or go in for office visit and ask those questions.
Can I say one more thing?
If you yes.
Merry Christmas. I hope you all have one. And, you know, I'm sorry that I came to the wrong place. I spent a year here, so I'll go to those meetings from now on.
I'm not.
Spend a year there.
I'm not taking any exception that you came here first. You came
great.
Here. You were
That's
looking
great.
For some action. You got
you
some
got
response.
Me, and I thank you.
And unfortunately, we're not the ultimate body that makes that decision, and another body made the decision not to support it. So.
No. I learned a lot, too. I learned that there's the actual people don't run this township. It's the people.
Yeah, I would respectfully disagree with that. I think ultimately the township board is the ultimate authority. There are staff that has input, and sometimes the township board may agree with that input, and sometimes they may disagree with it. Just as simply this body did, we knew what their thought process was when we were discussing this, and we decided to do something contrary to what that input was. But that doesn't mean everybody else is going to do that too.
And I'm very thankful for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your participation. Go to reports. Mindy's not here for Township Board Report. Ted, Appeals Board Report?
Yeah, we had one appeal. Wasn't on the lakes. How about that? There's a mistake in your minutes, or you better fix before.
I'll fix that.
You seen it?
I already sent them out.
Oh. Yeah, well, I'll fix that to meet the next meeting then.
Okay.
Nothing out of unusual.
Okay. Any questions for Ted? Okay, thanks. Planner's report, Rick.
I'll try to give some things related to the board as well. First of all, with the numbers that we provided you in this chart, and I was telling the chair a little while ago, at 165 with the month of December yet to go, we have the highest number of permits issued since 2006.
Good deal. So
we can do a parade on January 1st.
Are we seeing that in...
I think the two that are up are Signal Family Homes and Signs. Those are the ones.
Signs?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a sign?
Well, it might be because businesses are moving in where
Good.
There were empty buildings before.
Good.
Like Calypso Restaurant, Hopscotch, mm-hmm. things like that. And some others might be new signs as well. But the others are all even or slightly down or slightly up, but single-family dwellings and signs are the ones that made the big difference this year so far. Let's see here. The Beach District team had a meeting on November 13th, and during that meeting came up with a draft mission statement and some visioning statements that were developed. I think I emailed them to you. If I didn't, I certainly can. So we're moving on from there. Probably won't have a meeting until after the first of the year for another one. The Township Board will be holding at least one work session on short-term rentals, and that's been scheduled for January 4th. So get your camping gear and be ready for a long one if you're plan to attend.
When is that?
January 4th. That's Thursday.
And what time?
I don't know if they've set us time, if it's 6 or 6:30. I don't, you know.
It'll be on the calendar on the website.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know off the top of my head. I attended a Safe Routes to School forum on the 16th that was held at Grand Traverse Academy, where they brought in all the reports from the four schools here in the area. And then we had a development support meeting on the 8th where the supervisor, the attorney, and the engineer, and Leslie and I attended for trying to streamline some of the processes with water and sewer particularly and the permit fees and the benefit fees. The Township Board approved the extension of the Easttown PUD at the November meeting. Obviously, you know what happened with the zoning amendment related to accessory structures. I attended the Beta Bayline meeting on November 30th. That was the second meeting of three or four for the new Bayline corridor, which will be the frequent route along the corridor between basically Munson and Grand Traverse Commons and NMC during the winter and East Bay Township's hotels in the summer. It will go, right now the plan is to go as far east as East Bay Plaza throughout the year, and then Memorial Day to Labor Day would go as far east as Woodland Creek Furniture, a little bit further east than Cherry Tree Inn. The only reason is it's easier to turn through that and then come out on the Holiday Road and go through the light. Plus, they have an agreement with Woodland Creek Furniture for a park and ride. So people can do park and ride through that. And they're still talking 12 to 15 minute increments instead of the current 30, and they're still talking no charge for the rides. And they're looking for sponsors, business sponsors and stuff like that to pay for, cover the difference between what the cost is with or without fares, because fares usually amounts to about 10% of the total cost, so they're looking for businesses to contribute or sign up or pay for advertising or, trademark their name or something like, how there's naming rights and stuff like that to help cover the cost for the lost fare revenue. So, let's see here. As some of you have seen, we've swapped locations with assessing, so we are on that side of the building instead of that. I guess that would be the west side versus the east. And we're still getting stuff unboxed and sorted out and things like that. And there's new carpeting in most of the building, and some of the offices have been repainted as well. We'll talk later about the Michigan Association of Planning's Healthy Communities process. And then in terms of another topic that we've been discussing in the past, the state of Michigan kind of solved our problem for us, and that's on beekeeping. The couple that was looking to put bees on their property off Lardy Road, I believe it was, in Canterbury Woods. She came in, and the 2018 GAMPs from the state of Michigan now say that the site location GAMPs no longer apply to beekeeping. So you don't have to, because those site location GAMPs presented us a problem with, the fact that there were X number of homes within an eighth of a mile or a quarter mile, whatever it was, and they're in a subdivision. Well, the state apparently noticed that problem too, and the fact that beekeeping was not considered an agricultural activity, but then they were applying site location GAMPs to it that made it an agricultural activity. So the 2018 GAMPs no longer apply for site location, no longer apply for beekeeping. So they are no longer in, well, as of January 1st, they will no longer be in violation. So we withdrew the violation notice because of that.
Meaning then that if they want to do beekeeping at that location, they may?
Yes. They have to follow the other GAMPs for beekeeping, like how many for the size of parcel and how distant they have to be from the property lines and those sorts of things. But the one for site location, like X number of homes within an eighth of a mile and stuff like that, no longer applies to beekeeping. So that kind of took care of that problem. So they'll be able to continue.
Okay.
In terms of, that made our job easier too. In terms of complaints in November, we had two complaints about the sound system at Iceman being too loud. It's the first time we've gotten one of those in a while. Two junk car complaints, a building, roof, shed, and living in a trailer without permits, all on the same parcel, which we are trying to resolve. Had one that, frankly, we have no way of addressing, but we took note of it. And there was a person that called who lives on Apartment Drive, and the windows were being replaced in the units, and they were concerned about the quality of the workmanship and the condition of the wood behind the windows in terms of it rotting and stuff like that. And so, you know, we suggest, you know, and apparently it's not something that requires a building permit either, so it's kind of hard. Who do you call? And unfortunately, we don't have a Ghostbusters here in town, so they couldn't call them. Nor do we have, that I know of, an apartment renters advocacy group. And so didn't really have an answer for them. We thought about sending them down to the Lakes region and, you know, seeing if the Lakes community could solve the problem for them. But
we can. Most of the people are gone, so we can.
All right. And then there was clear cutting to a lake, so we have to get a hold of somebody about that. We weren't happy about that. Then lastly, I don't think any of the commissioners know about this, but in the budget, one of the items that was included, that I included, was a raise for Leslie. Beyond the usual cost of living increase because of all the stuff she does, and when you compare her pay to all the other communities in the area, it was considerably less. But also in doing that, we added an additional responsibility for her, and that will be for her to take the minutes at the Planning Commission meetings starting next year. And we've talked to Ann, made her aware of it, and she understands. And so this will technically, unless Leslie's out pretending to be sick sometime, be Ann's last time here for a while. And I just wanted to thank her for all her years of service and good work.
Yeah, thank you.
And join that as well. So thanks, Ann.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Appreciated.
That's it. What? What did I forget?
My 25th.
Oh. Yeah, sorry, Saturday was her 25th
years?
Anniversary at East Bay Township. I'm
25
sorry.
25 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Does the township give you a watch or just says thank you very much for 25 years of service?
Beautiful flowers and cookies.
Wow. Nice. Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations. Any questions for Rick?
Sorry about that. Okay. I typed this up before Saturday.
Thank you. Thank you. No correspondence. Next item on the agenda then is old business as a correction to the 2018 resolution of meeting dates and times. And I think we approved this at the last meeting, but we caught a typo in one of the, it was that the August date was listed
was
on.
After 25 years of service, she didn't know we met on Tuesdays.
Yeah, so.
So no, we accidentally had August, Monday, August 13th.
Tuesday the 14th?
Yeah.
And that's the only correction?
Yes.
So you need a motion for us to approve that?
Yes, please.
Been moved by Commissioner Henschel, was supported by Commissioner Grollo to approve the 2018 resolution meeting date and times as corrected. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That is approved. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is new business. This is time for a project concept discussion with Dan Kelly. And Dan, if you'd come to the podium and give us your name and address, please.
Residents?
Yep, that'd be good. Either way.
Dan Kelly, 421 North Elmwood, Traverse City. So I have a executed purchase agreement on the property. Are you familiar with the property, one here on the corner?
Yep, at least here, because I saw it in the packet.
Okay, and what we have going on in Acme is that we have a 21-acre development going in there, and we go in front of their planning commission next Monday. Mm-hmm. And if that is the case, that we go through with that project, we're going to want to move the catering kitchen. And it's a, that's basically what it is. It's a catering kitchen. And if I critical path it, I'm probably looking at probably doing it, pushing dirt in Acme and probably moving the kitchen pretty close to that. So we should, could be early, probably 2019 is when we would need to actually move. That, so prior to that was when we would need to build. Logistically, you know, we catered northern Michigan. So we looked at, you know, we catered the Manistee area, the Leelanau County area, and all the way up to Sault Ste. Marie, Canada. So from this area, that's what I was looking for primarily, is logistically is a great place for us to go. And this fit that criteria. So my only question to you is that, you know, is that a possibility under the present zoning? And, you know, that's where I'm at. I have obviously looked at the property for not only a catering kitchen. We have, you know, we're purchasing all of it. I think there's probably about 3.8 acres of usable land on that because a fair amount of it is swamp. But we wouldn't probably be doing just the catering kitchen. But that's probably the avenue I want to take right now. That's what we need to look at. Can we do that? I did draw up a little diagram with other buildings on it. But, you know, I'm certainly not in a position where I want to say that this would be phase one and phase two and phase three. Phase one is a commercial kitchen. That's what we want to put on it. But just real quick, this is basically drawn to scale. Okay, this is a 7,000 square foot commercial kitchen. We'd want to center that on the back in the center of the property. This is 3 Mile. This is Hammond. This is the Shell station. Okay, these are all drawn to scale. So I see long-term that there's some potential for additional buildings that would be open to retail type of applications. But for right now, you know, that's really nothing that I would present probably in a plan. I think once I probably decided if this would be something that I wanted to move forward on and actually purchase, write the check, because I feel comfortable with that we could do this, then obviously when I put in the plans for the commercial kitchen, we would have that as possible, you know, possible down the road kind of things. But the bottom line is that I would only want to have a good, warm, fuzzy feeling about the fact that we could do a commercial kitchen before I would purchase the land. So that's kind of where I'm at, and that's why I'm here.
Okay, and I think it's zoned East Bay Corners, is that right?
Yes, and staff has gone through the ordinance and discussed this with Mr. Kelly. We are of the opinion that it is a permitted use. It doesn't specify or call out commercial kitchens as a specific use, but it does, first of all, allow mixed uses, and he's talking eventually some type of mixed use, but it also allows uses similar to those uses that are permitted by right. And you have a bakery or confectionery shop allowed. You have grocery stores, which are allowed.
Well, I see a huge difference between a bakery and a commercial kitchen. I'm kidding.
Let me.
No, I'm kidding.
You're right.
I think those are relatively the same thing.
Okay, but commercial kitchen is an industrial use more because you're not having the public come to it.
No, he is.
Yes.
He is. He's going to have them come there for tastings and things like that.
Okay. But so, it's still not like having a bakery where you're...
Well, let me continue.
I should not have interrupted with my attempt at humor.
Yeah, we're not bakers.
I got to get back to my, well, I'm sure you do bake things. Grocery stores often have catering services, including Olson's. Also, it allows personal service establishments and local businesses, and then also restaurants. And I want to read the definition of restaurant here to you. A commercial establishment where food and beverages are prepared, served, and either consumed either on-site or prepared and delivered or dispensed for drive-in or drive-through consumption. So if they are preparing food here and then delivering it elsewhere, that, I think, can fall under the definition of restaurant. Because it's a bigger version of a takeout restaurant. I agree. Nobody's contending that. But I do think when it says uses similar to those permitted by right, when you take all these various uses and put them together, my opinion is, and I'm, in the final analysis, if this had to go somewhere, the ZBA would make the interpretation of whether it's appropriate. What he's proposing to do would be similar to all these uses combined, the bakery, the grocery, the restaurant, the personal services. I think even personal services mentioned something. Let me get back to it here. A business which offers specialized goods and services purchased frequently by the consumer. So they will have, from what Mr. Kelly has described to me, place for people to come. They're having a wedding or some other type of event and do tastings of food and other servings at that site. So there will be customers coming there to the site to do that. They won't be coming there for the actual event, but they will be coming there for that purpose. I think his long-term goal, not short-term, also includes possibly having a restaurant there at some point, though, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, we've already, as quickly as this agreement was just, I didn't think that the bank would even go for it, but they did. So it's like, oh my gosh, okay, I gotta take a look at this.
Now I gotta move.
Yeah, now I gotta do something with this. So the little bit of time that I've had to look at it, and setting any kind of a traffic or anything like that, I mean, obviously it's a pretty busy intersection. There's a lot of people that live out in the Spider Lake areas and all the rest of that stuff. There's a lot of movement of people. I personally am not going to get back into the restaurant business. I've done that. Okay? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Because, if we do this, great. If it doesn't happen, there's lots of places I can do this. But we are liquor licensed. We are retail licensed. I mean, I've always thought about the fact that, we bring in 90,000. We put out 90,000 meals a year. And, we have close to 103 employees. I mean, there's a lot of food that goes through that building, and there's a lot of stuff that can be retailed. We have liquor licenses and wine licenses and beer licenses, and we've got brew pub licenses. We have all that stuff. So, yeah, all that stuff can go in here, but I'm only looking at it as that I would do it as a building the buildings and lease them out. I'm not going to be an operator in any of those. I'm getting too old for that.
The other thing I wanted to...
But it's all a possibility on this property. Right. But I'm not here to say that that's what I'm going to do, but I'm thinking about it.
The other thing that's important to know, I went through all of the districts, and I couldn't find a single one, including industrial, which gave a use that was pinpoint onto what he's talking about. And that's why the one that came the closest was all the uses that were described in the East Bay Corners District. Now, if the commission feels that there needs to be an amendment to the East Bay Corners District to make it more clear-cut, or feels that an interpretation is necessary to determine whether the ZBA agrees with my interpretation on that, I'm open to that. I mainly was trying to give him some guidance, but at the same time, he wanted to hear feedback from you, since it will be coming to the Planning Commission as a site plan review. if he decides to proceed.
Yeah. I've got a couple of thoughts. One is, if I'm understanding you correctly, Dan, you're saying, gee, this is my idea, but before I act on it, I want to know from the Planning Commission whether this is going to be an approved use and it's going to be able to, I'm going to be able to do this. Otherwise, I'm going to back out of buying this land or whatever it might be.
Yeah, and I know you can't get to that point.
Yeah, and that's,
you know, but
yeah,
I'd walk out of here and say, you know, there's a pretty darn good possibility and there's not that much financial risk.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, I guess my one thought, and I'm just one of four of us here, but one is we're missing two, and we need to replace a third that's here. So there's four of potentially seven members of the Planning Commission are here tonight. So I can't speak for the other two that aren't here and the other person has not been appointed yet. So it's hard to say whether or not they would agree with the interpretation that's been given by Mr. Brown or not. Personally, I don't see an issue with it myself. I can't speak for the other three here. But the other piece is that you're saying that this, you know, initially what you would like to do is have this commercial kitchen, but you're envisioning some other uses along this parcel, whether it be fronting on 3 Mile or fronting on Hammond Road. And my only thought is that if that's ultimately what you'd want to do, I'd want to me anyway, sort of have some clarity that I'm going to proceed beyond the commercial kitchen at some point, you know, or whether or not, you know, my other vision, the rest of my vision is going to get struck down. And I'm not suggesting that it is. Mm-hmm. But those, to me, those would be the two sort of things that you'd want to know. Am I making sense? So you're asking, I think you're bringing this idea here to say, hey, can you give me your preliminary thought as to whether this is a go project or a no-go project given the use that I want to have in this particular parcel? And two, if so, am I going to be able to do the other parts of my vision that I see down the road, or am I going to run into a brick wall on that?
Based on the zoning and what you guys have for that particular area, the additional vision is an issue.
I don't think right. I think you may be right. I'm not suggesting.
A wine shop and a deli and a brew pub.
I'm not suggesting. Correct. And I wasn't.
That's what it's zoned for. That's what it's zoned for.
And I wasn't trying to suggest that it's not. I just would, from your perspective, hey, if I'm going to go down this road, I just want to make sure that all those ducks are.
I'm not concerned about the future plan on the rest of that acreage.
Yeah.
But I am concerned about the initial phase one.
Okay.
But I have concerns on what he's doing because I don't feel that it is a restaurant. It is a food factory. 90,000 meals, 100 and some employees, semi-trucks, parking. You know, this isn't, that doesn't sound like a corner restaurant.
I'm not against you, don't get me wrong.
I'm just concerned that is it going the way that our plan for East Bay Corners is planned, you know? And maybe I'm seeing it wrong. I don't know. I've never seen a commercial kitchen this size. Are there any examples you can give me? Anybody else? I mean,
well, you know, I thought about taking a picture of mine.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a commercial kitchen.
So what do you think?
You know, it's a nice brick building, actually.
I'm not concerned about the building. I'm concerned about what goes on outside the building. Trucks coming and going. Your delivery trucks.
Are you located near the dinner theater?
Well, we build a building behind it.
It's behind it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? Are any of my concerns realistic?
I don't think all his employees are on site. Are
they? Yeah. That's the whole thing. Is that I understand exactly what we're saying, but if you really took a look at the streamline operation of what we do, there's actually only three semis that come in a week.
Okay, so because we have more than that.
It's a catering business. You know, everything comes in at once. We prepare everything and it goes out.
Figure the scale.
There's 60 employees that will go out on Saturday afternoon.
Okay,
and they would park there and they would leave.
Okay,
it's a ghost town on a Saturday night there.
Did you figure parking in your?
Yeah. I'm not telling him my plan. He's got plenty.
No, I'm not even at that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I
have a question. What's the difference with a commercial kitchen and waste, like, you know, grease and versus a regular restaurant kitchen of disposal?
You still have to have a grease trap and all the rest of that stuff. But there is no fryer in our commercial kitchen.
Okay.
There isn't one. You know, most of the stuff that we cook is on property.
Okay.
So, in other words, if we go to a venue, we're cooking there. We bring in the stoves and the grills and everything.
You know? Okay.
So the commercial kitchen is really
a prep kitchen?
Kind of.
Okay.
We make sauces, we make dressing, it all gets, and then it's put into the trucks and trailers and it's taken out and dispersed.
Mm-hmm.
The reason a commercial kitchen is kind of a cool thing to have is the center part of this particular piece of property. Okay, I mean, when I originally was out looking around, I'm looking for a piece of property. I don't need any more overhead. I don't need any more taxes. I need to streamline the catering company. That's where the profit goes. But then when I looked at this property, I thought, you know, this does go to the original plans that I've always had in my head, is that we've got a commercial kitchen. Now, from that commercial kitchen, it's an underutilized building. It's 7,000 square feet. It's just not. It does not get utilized. But it does get utilized for 6 hours a week, which is called Saturday night. Okay, because that's when we do all of the business, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So this underutilization means is that, okay, we import, this will give you a hypothetical, we import meats and cheeses, things like that from Europe. Okay, so they come in weekly. And I've always said, well, why don't we take those products and we move them into a deli? Now, so that's where I get excited about this piece of property, because this commercial kitchen really does become a little bit of a hub mm-hmm. for this food-centered development with delis and wine shops and all that. So that's my vision. And again, I would not own the business aspect of that. I would only own the buildings. Mm-hmm. I would get people in to run those little different businesses. And I think it'd be hot. You know, I really do. I'm doing the same thing in Acme.
Okay.
And so that's, you know, that's the whole idea of this commercial kitchen. But again, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, that's for sure 100% guarantee it's going to happen.
Well, what is,
you know, it's just not going
what is the zoning on your property in Acme?
We're a PUD, so I've zoned commercial mixed use with 7.3 acres of commercial.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a different, it's kind of a different.
Judy, do you have any?
Yeah, I want them to have like Meals on Wheels where I can just stop and pick up all my meals for the week. Drive up. Good, thank you. Okay, thank you for that question.
Louis, Judy. Okay, so I think the general gist is that it looks like it's, from this perspective, again, missing three potential members, that it's probably you're getting sort of a green light, I think.
Okay. Are you more comfortable, Ted?
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Get perspective of that.
That's what I did. I wanted to get a feel for it, and, you know, again, I think long term it could be probably just what you're looking for, but I can't make that promise. You know, I definitely want to know that this is the first step in what we'd be doing.
All it takes is time and money.
Time and money. Proper application, time and money.
All right,
thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. I'm not sure I have either.
Next item on the agenda is proposed zoning amendment regarding signage. This is a time for review and to set a date for a public hearing. Rick?
Yes. As you all know, probably from previous updates, the Supreme Court back in 2015 handed down a rather landmark decision called Reed versus Gilbert, Arizona, and it has had a dramatic effect on sign ordinances across the country. Basically, the decision said you can't legislate content in any way, shape, or form. So you can't have in your zoning ordinance one set of rules for political signs and another set of rules for real estate signs and another set of rules for directional signs, especially if it legislates what's being said on them. So there have been a number of conferences and or presentations and or webinars that I've attended and Leslie has attended as well on this topic, and we decided we better start plugging away at our ordinance because there are a few areas that need to be updated. And in doing so, that was sort of the gist, to look at the whole ordinance and try to make it more uniform, more streamlined, more user-friendly, and also bring it up to date on a couple of things. So you'll see the draft we have there. There are some sections that have been moved to other locations for logic purposes. There are others that have been struck out entirely. There are others that have been added. probably the two biggest changes, aside from taking out the content-related things to make it content-neutral, are some changes to the size of signs that are allowed along U.S. 31 in the RB district, and allowing certain size small signs along the TART trail for those businesses that back up to the TART trail. Right now, East Bay Township allows considerably larger signs than any other community along the Bayshore corridor, which is Elmwood, Traverse City, us, and Acme. Our freestanding sign size is 120 square feet. Acme's is 32 square feet, and they actually have higher speed limits than we do. And Traverse City's is 40. I did not compare the wall sign sizes because I did not propose any changes to our wall signs. We allow 100 square feet of wall signs, which is very generous. The reason staff, I gave five reasons why staff thinks it would be appropriate to reduce these down, and what we're proposing is a bonus if you do a monument or a ground sign instead of a pole sign. Basically, it would be 80 square foot sign for a ground sign, 60 square foot if it's up on a pole. And the reasons we are suggesting this is, one, we already have regulations that are considerably larger than our neighbors, and our neighbors have just as high, if not higher, speed limits, especially to the east, than we do. And so why do we allow four times larger signs? Second, the visioning sessions for the Bayshore Corridor, there was support from those attending when we had those images of, do you prefer this sign versus this sign and stuff like that for ground signs and less obtrusive, shall we say, signs. Third, one of our goals on the Beach District / Bayshore Corridor is to try to figure out how to slow speeds down a little bit. And doing a speed study is not going to be an option. We've already been told by MDOT, you do that and you risk having it actually go up because of the 85th percentile rule. Two communities up in this region tried lowering the speed limits on roads through their downtown area, and both ended up with higher speed limits as a result, Lake City and Kalkaska. So it's that they said, stay away from that. But at the same time, we have to create friction somehow or another to try to slow, make that road seem a little narrower so people let off the gas. So there's ways of doing that, planters, sidewalks, lighting, banners, and another way is ground signs. If the signs are down lower or near the ground, it's going to feel like a little narrower corridor. Fourth, and I got to give my wife credit on this one because she uses her Google Maps all the time to get places, whether it's on your phone or in your car or a GPS unit. People don't necessarily need to see a big sign along the road to figure out how to get there when they have these technologies that take you right to the doorstep. And more people, I think 70% of Americans have smartphones now. Something like that, 70 or 77%. And then sort of looking into the future, autonomous vehicles will have this all built right into it, and you just tell the car where you want to go. And GM's planning to bring autonomous vehicles to the market in five cities starting in 2019. So it's the brave new world's here. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to be everywhere by 2020, by the end of that decade, near 2030, I think we're going to see a lot more of them on the road. So those are some of the reasons why we think it now's the time to look at reducing the size of the signs allowed along that corridor. At the same time, we are not proposing to penalize those that already have larger signs. They will be considered nonconforming if we change this. If they're ever destroyed by a tornado, or hopefully not, or tsunami or whatever, by 50% or more, they would have to be brought back into conformance with the ordinance, which means they'd have to be smaller. or if they're abandoned for more than 275 days, like is currently in the ordinance, the same sort of thing. But we're not going to put in anything about an amortization schedule where they have to, within 10 years, have them gone. We're going to let them remain as long as they take care of them and maintain them and keep them in good repair. Also, for those businesses that back up to the TART trail, and we've already had some requests on this, as well as there's a few that were put there without our knowledge, we thought it might be advantageous for wayfinding and tourism and all that to allow them to have small 8-square-foot signs along the TART trail as long as it's on their property and not within the trail right away. And as a way of helping people, visitors particularly, to get to places that they might be looking for. So those are some of the major changes. As you can see, we've got a lot of strike-through and bolding and what have you in the ordinance. Not necessarily all of that is new. Some of it is repositioning because of trying to meet this Reed versus Gilbert, some of the guidelines in that, as well as trying to make the ordinance a little more friendly. And then there's a few other things that have been added here or there just for clarity. For example, under permanent signs, instead of just saying governmental historic designation signs, we also added plaques because, you know, there might be a plaque on the site of the building that says Grolios Market, established 1842 or whatever it might be. You know. And then we made some changes also to the definitions, and that was to comply with that Reed law because we had several definitions that had content-specific requirements in them, and so it's been adjusted in regards to that. So I'm glad to answer any questions you might have. We brought this to you so you could see it. It's sort of mull it over, and if you feel it's at the stage now where it's ready to go to a public hearing, we can do that. If you want to hear opinions from the other two commissioners before you do that, that's fine. If you have suggested changes or want the whole thing, you know, sent on a slow boat to China, that's fine too. But okay. We're here to hear your feedback.
I think it's the permanent signs 4A, and then under 6, it talks about political election signs, which is some of the stricken language.
Right.
Is that primarily where that political? So one of the questions I had is because I think the idea there was to deal with sort of signs that are on a temporary basis and how large they can be, et cetera. Do we deal with temporary signs elsewhere then in here?
Yes, and basically what the decision said is you can't now, with temporary signs, differentiate between real estate and political and stuff like that, but so you just call them temporary signs uniformly, and then you can do things like, and not necessarily all of this is in here, and we can talk about that. You can say things like X number per lot or X number per foot. You can only have one sign, temporary sign, every 100 feet or something like that. You can do it based on public health, safety, and aesthetics, but you can't do it, you know, based per candidate or per election or something like that. There's prohibited signs, there's permanent, temporary signs are down here. Under exempt signage, we have permanent signs which are exempt, and then we have temporary signs, banners, flags. And we talk about temporary signs may be in use for 90 days within a year's period. We don't differentiate for what kind of temporary signs. And I suppose, you know, thinking about it, now that we're sitting here, I suppose there are some properties that don't necessarily sell within 90 days. But, if it's a real estate sign and it's still for sale, we're not going to necessarily make a big yank about it because, you know, they certainly have the right to market their property. So there may need to be a little bit of tweaking there. And then we talk about flags, pennants, and banners may be used, for up to a period not exceeding 30 days within a 180-day period. And then we provide some general guidelines that they have to be in good repair and they can't be allowed to be dangling in the wind or whatever. And they have to be permanently affixed to some type of structure, you know, whether it be poles into the ground or onto a building or something. So we provide some general guidelines there. We also give some guidelines on where they can't be placed, like if they're within the road right-of-way or projecting into the road right-of-way. Technically, all those college painter signs and political signs you see that are right along the road are technically illegal. They're supposed to be out of the right-of-way. They obviously can't be put on public property. They can't be put in a place where it obstructs your view at an intersection or near an egress location or something like that. If it's a business temporary sign, it can't be put 3 miles away at the nearest exit, saying "Eat at Joe's over here" or something like that. And there's other criteria put there. Whether we want to get into X number per lineal feet or X number per property, that's going to add more work for her and me both. So I was hesitant to do that, but at the same time, we work at your pleasure in terms of this topic and the board's pleasure as well.
As I'm understanding, there are three major changes, that being trying to be content neutral, downsizing the size of the signs in the area district,
mm-hmm.
and then allowing for signs along the tar trail that's not currently allowed.
As long as it's a property that borders or a business that borders the tar trail, you can't have, like...
Yeah. Or the business.
Olson's can't have a sign along the tar trail. Hey, go over here to get a cola afterwards or something.
Yeah. Okay. Ted, any questions, thoughts, comments?
I have a thought. What's the township board think of this?
Well,
why do we want to waste a bunch of time? They might not.
They may not have a choice on the court decision.
My only guess is.
Well, yeah, but you're doing a lot more than the court decision.
My only guess is that. Since the first one was the first time in how many years you've been on the planning commission, I'd be surprised if it's going to happen twice within a couple of months.
Might be the new board.
So, Judy?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. What's the size of the permanent or monument sign in Elmwood, Acme, and TC again?
I don't know the answer to
okay, that. I thought you said 35 and 40.
Signs. Freestanding signs in Acme, whether it's pole or monument, is 32. And Traverse City, whether it's pole or monument, is 40. I don't know Elmwood's off the top of my head.
Oh, okay. I have a concern about the size of the permanent sign or ground sign, because usually I would assume that when you're... Are you using ground and permanent synonymously?
No, permanent.
I'm sorry.
No. Permanent signs are part of the exempt signage, and then we get into Section 6, which is the permitted signage, and then you have to come in and get a permit. These exempt signs, you don't have to come in and get a permit. Like, you don't have to come in and get for street numbers or street signs or traffic control signs or works of art and stuff like that. But if you want to put up a ground sign at your business, then you have to come and get a permit, and that's why it's listed under permit.
And a monument sign.
Yes.
Okay.
Monument as... A
ground
is another word for ground sign, not monument, like
right,
you know,
right.
World War II took place here.
Right, I know. I guess my feeling is that I would like to be a little bit more consistent with our neighbors. I mean, there's a reason why they have smaller signs and higher speed limits or whatever. I don't know. And if GPS, I use my GPS all the time. I don't necessarily look at the signs, but that's just me. The other thing is, so a monument sign we would use as permanent. I just want to make sure that's more a permanent structure, right?
No,
I mean,
it's a permanent structure, yeah. Like
monument.
The signs you see.
Okay, well, I don't
not
know
a monument, because that's like he said, a war memorial.
Yeah, but there are like.
Place.
A ground base sign.
Ground base sign.
Okay.
And then the other one is a pole.
So you call the new Culligan sign up there. That's kind of like a, it's cut really nice brick. Yeah. Yeah, it's brick and all that. Yeah.
Cherry Tree Inn has a monument sign.
You got the ground.
That's a ground sign.
That's a ground sign. Okay. All right.
Shell's pole sign.
All right. All right. The other thing then is, would we still monitor the real estate signs the same way? That it has to be on the property?
Yes.
Not on the intersections and all over?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Louis?
I think we should wait till 2030 when everybody doesn't have to drive around. Everything's going to be programmed in it. Then we'll get rid of all the
Everybody can do that.
I'd like to wait for the other two commissioners, too, though.
We don't need any signs.
Hmm?
We wait till 2030, we won't have to know where we're going.
Me, too.
It'll all be programmed in. We'll give it
in your head.
We'll give it to all the signs.
Well, I'm sorry, Louis, I don't know if I didn't catch it.
No, I do have a couple serious questions, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
You say that, okay, we're going to treat them all the same. So if somebody has a real estate sign out and their property doesn't sell, they probably won't say anything about that one.
We won't take those. We can't say anything about that, and maybe that's why we might need to add a little bit more language that addresses
that. Little girl up in the Canterbury Woods with her two hives of honey up there puts a sign out that says honey for sale. Can she leave hers out as long as her honey doesn't sell? Or are we going to say, you got to take yours down, but since his property doesn't sell, he can leave his out? Just asking the question.
You're asking me a what-if scenario, and it would depend on the situation and all the parameters. One would hope her honey would sell in the 90 days. It might not taste too good if it... But
what you're saying is that if you have a home-based business, do you have the right to have a sign out in the front yard permanently in your front yard?
Correct.
You can have, with a home-based permit sign application, you can, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Temporary, I don't think if she had it out there for a couple of weeks, it probably wouldn't make an issue of it. But if she's going to do it longer term, then we'd expect them to get some type of home-based permit sign.
Okay, that's okay. You answered my question.
Do you have another one?
No, I just have thoughts, that's all.
Okay. Yeah.
Are we going to notify all the people who we are affecting?
Of course.
Yes, and we've already notified the business.
Hold on. Go ahead and finish your question first.
Are we just going to put it in the newspaper, or are we actually going to mail them all something?
I don't know if we would definitely put it in the newspaper. We have notified many of the businesses, I shouldn't say many, those business owners that are part of the Beach District team. We told them about this at one of the meetings. Louis was at that meeting as well as Dan, and so they are aware of it. One would assume word of mouth has gotten to others, but we haven't necessarily called every single business along there. We can certainly send a notice to perhaps the Beach District team and a few other groups down there. I don't know if we need to send one to every business down there.
I think we probably should.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I know the people down there, and I think they would expect that.
Okay. Well, then we will.
Well,
and that's, obviously doesn't affect me personally. I'm personal. I'm not in regional business.
East Bay Corner, you're not regional business.
Yeah, regional business. So... But I feel that if I was in that district, I would want to know. I wouldn't want somebody to say all of a sudden, oh, by the way, we changed the zoning ordinance on you. I don't think it's fairly substantial to a business person how much signage they can have. And they might be okay with it, and all these ideas of Rick's might be right, and I'm old and don't believe in all that. But that's all my thing. I don't want to try to do anything without notifying everybody.
You had raised the point, Ted, I think, about since we're missing two commissioners, that we not schedule a public hearing at this point, but bring it back one more month for any comment that they might have. And I would concur with that only to the extent that I did read through the draft. But now listening to the comments, I'd probably like time to have another good read through it.
That's fine.
Take my time to do it. So why don't we put this back on the calendar for next month?
for any final comments, especially either from the four of us and the other two.
If they could get any people to come up and give us any input, that'd be great.
Okay. Couple things. Also, I'll look into the real estate thing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the supervisor is aware of this, but I'll mention it to the clerk and treasurer also, so at least three board members are certainly aware of it. And then...
is that for the concern about gauging the interest?
Yeah.
Is that what you're...
Well, they know that we have to do it for the state, for the law.
Right.
Yeah.
The only other thing I wanted to mention is it's not the RB district alone that is impacted of the it's not East Bay Corners. It would also impact the size of the signs in local business, airport service, and PO as well. So those would be reduced some as well. So go through it and take a look at it. You know, fly spec it. Yeah. I have no problem. You know, we've been working on this for quite a while, and it becomes a blur sometimes.
I think I just wanted to take some time and not look at the rest of the packet and just kind of concentrate on that.
That's fine.
And sort of think about what it means.
Are public schools and...
They're exempt.
Yes, and so are religious or just public schools?
Just public schools.
Okay.
And I think private schools, too.
Okay. Educational, not educational facilities, but educational institutions.
I think all educational facilities...
Because it says that land uses, so...
But churches are not, unless it's a church school, maybe.
Right, but schools are exempt.
All schools.
Okay.
Any other discussion? You're okay with holding off for a month? Okay. Thank you. Thanks. Next item on the agenda then is discussion regarding interest in applying for a grant from the Michigan Association of Planning regarding health planning technical assistance.
Yeah, this is not a monetary grant. This is more of a assistance grant, technical assistance grant. And we just received this late last week, so that's why it wasn't in your packet. But they also have a deadline of December. We are trying to turn it around fairly quickly. Apparently, they have a program that they're initiating that they want to get three or four local units of government to participate in, where they will provide technical expertise in reviewing our master plan and any other sub-district plans, our capital improvements program, which technically we don't really have a recent one, and then which means they could look at the budget, I suppose, too, and then our other plans, perhaps the recreation plan and our zoning ordinance, and look at it on how it deals with promoting healthy communities, whether walkability, it could be access to foods, it could be access for seniors, a variety of topics.
Is that pretty broad?
Yeah. Just to give you an idea, I can give you a quick idea of what they're proposing to do. There would be a community team that would be established that would be led by a community planner who would serve as the leader and or the facilitator, and then who is well equipped to engage in local planning and zoning efforts. Then there will be elected leaders, residents, the business community, public health and transportation officials, and other key stakeholders to participate. The community team will include at least one planning commissioner, so we'll be looking for volunteers. Anybody raising their hand? I saw that. You're on. No, then attend a plan for health training or view a recorded webinar. I attended a whole Michigan Planning Association thing on planning for health. Provide the Michigan Association of Planning staff with documentation in digital format. Participate in interviews and focus groups. Meet with Michigan Association of Planning or their consultants to review the findings report, and then create an implementation plan. And what the, basically, as our society is aging, this effort is trying to improve community health through a variety of ways, whether it be building design, for example, as we get older, do we need a stoop and three steps to get up there, or is it better to design homes at ground level where you don't have to go up and downstairs to get into the home? That's just one minor example that I've seen in plans before. Another example would be access to foods, whether it be grocery stores or farm markets or something, because there can be some areas, not necessarily here, but some, in some cities where you have food deserts, because there's it's a long distance to get to, and older populations or disadvantaged may not have the ability to, or the finances to get there. Other things could be access to recreational activities, you know, and health-based activities, whether it be walking, biking, running, exercising in some manner. So there's a whole list of things, and there would be assessing our documents and reviewing them and providing guidance to the township on ways that we can update our ordinances and our plans to make the goal is to make us a more healthy community in the long term. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 counties that are eligible for this. So there'll be a number of local communities, I imagine, in those various six counties that will throw in their hat into the ring. This was something that when I saw it, I thought it sounded like an interesting endeavor for the township to consider. I brought it up with the supervisor. She said, you know, gauge the interest on the Planning Commission's part, and then if they're interested, then we'll take it to the board next week and see if they would be interested, and then we'll turn in an application. Thankfully, it's not requiring, it's not like a college app where you have to do 3 long reports on your life or something like that. But
if I'm understanding the commitment, there would need to be one commissioner that would attend the meetings.
And myself, or Leslie, I suppose, in my absence. Others can attend, but they're asking for
a commitment.
So. Right, and they're going to have these focus groups and these discussions. Basically, what they're hoping to do is identify the community's priority health goals, develop tangible actions related to land use and the built environment to implement community health goals, create implementation strategy for these policy changes or ordinance amendments, and then develop ways to measure success down the road.
So you're looking for a resolution of support from us?
It could be a motion.
Pardon?
It could be a motion. Yeah. If the Planning Commission is interested in us at least taking it to the board, I suppose, you know, the board could get it and say, sorry, you're too busy, no, or something like that.
You're not going to let that go. But I guess the bottom line is that if we are going to support that, I think at least we need to be prepared. One of us needs to be prepared to step up to the plate to participate.
Yes, and you have two that are.
And here, or
I volunteer Dan.
I volunteer the new person that comes on board.
Yeah, we don't know what that is.
Right.
Is there general consensus to
we'll
support
find
it?
Somebody.
And one of us will never step up if we need to do it.
One of three.
Yeah, Dan will do it. Right up his alley.
Okay. So do we need a motion from us to do that then?
Yeah.
Could make a motion, including Dan.
I wouldn't do that.
No.
Might not see him at any more meetings.
Volunteers.
Well, if nobody volunteers, I think the chair would be likely to appoint somebody, is what I or at least to ask that somebody would do it.
Decree.
I'm going to Florida. I can't.
So,
who did anybody second it behind Ted's?
Yeah, I don't know if there's been a motion yet. Did you actually?
Sure, I'll make the motion.
Yeah.
I'll second.
Yeah, well, what is the motion?
The motion is to bring this to the town board and see if they want to support it.
Okay, to recommend applying for the grant?
Yes.
Okay. So it's been moved by Commissioner Henschel with support by Commissioner Nimitz to recommend to the township board that the township apply for the grant from the Michigan Association of Planning regarding health planning technical assistance.
With a detailed expressed written reason why or not why not?
No. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, that's approved. I guess we're at other business, and I've been thinking about this whole issue a little bit, and I think my thought would be that if there is a time when the Planning Commission makes a recommendation to the Township Board that they take certain action, but staff is advocating otherwise, that staff notify the chair, and the chair could appoint somebody from the Planning Commission to represent the majority view of the Planning Commission in case the Township Board wanted to hear from that. I sort of think maybe that's the way to resolve that issue, and my guess would be that if it was Ted or somebody had the opportunity to go to the township board to explain why it is that we did what we did, and if they still say no, then they say no, or if it dies because of no support, it dies from no support. But maybe that would be a solution to that. So my thought would be that if there are times when staff may make recommendations that the majority of the Planning Commission disagree with, and I think that's fine.
Does or does not?
Does disagree with.
Okay.
But I think in those instances where staff is going to go to the township board and advocate something contrary to what the majority of the Planning Commission was, which I think is okay. I'm not disputing that. But that somebody from the Planning Commission get the opportunity at least to know that staff's going to take that position so that somebody can represent.
She was against it.
I understand. So, but yeah, because I think it would have to be somebody that within the majority vote that would be, and they can either choose to go or not go, but at least that they would go and present that point of view to the township board and have that opportunity. Because otherwise, maybe we assume staff would support what we did, and I'm not, again, it's not meant as a criticism at all.
Well, we but presented think, what the facts of what was done.
Yeah, and it's not meant as a criticism. But and we knew that where your viewpoints were on it. But I just wonder that in the future, if that happens, when that happens, and it's very rare that it does, that those in the majority get an opportunity to kind of know that and to know that, okay, one of us should be there, somebody should be there to present that other, at least the majority opinion about why we did what we did. So that's my only other thought on that, I think. Any other comments or questions about that?
That sounds good.
So, okay. With that, any other public comment then on any matter that was on the agenda?
Scott Strelecki, 1239 North US 31. I asked this fella to stick around for a second because I want to make a comment. I'm glad I actually stayed for the rest of the meeting. Am I to understand that East Bay Corners is in back of the Shell station, is where the Shell station is right here.
I can't tell you the exact locations of it.
I got a good idea because I'm going to tell you it cannot be argued that between 3 Mile and 4 Mile Hammond Road North is what I call the Mitchell Creek watershed. It absolutely, the property he's not going to be using, he looks at it as a swamp. But I think it's important to understand that the Mitchell Creek watershed is a very unique piece of property. It should have never been developed. What we have here is zoning gone crazy. That property should never be zoned. They want me to build a house in order to put a barn on a sensitive piece of property. I'm just saying that zoning is absolute, something is wrong when you aren't even willing to protect the Mitchell Creek watershed. I live at the property.
Yeah, I think there is a Mitchell Creek overlay.
Mitchell Creek comes out into the bay, and I'm a contingent property right next to it. I care what comes downhill. My property is partway downhill, and then I live at the base of the hill. Everything. I'm not a plumber, but I do understand how liquid flows. Anybody wanting to develop anything north of Hammond Road between 3 and 4 Mile has got to be out of their minds. I disagree with it. This has to be brought up for public comment or something because that is sensitive property. Very sensitive. It's more sensitive than the lakes because what comes from the lakes flows downhill still. It can be argued that it heads even north or south of Hammond Road. I'm just going with the general area. So I'm not in agreement with any of this. What you guys are making me do to my land by making me be a multi-residential.
I think you're arguing to the wrong board. I think we approved what you wanted us to approve to, and now you're arguing with us about it. And I think we said we would recommend what you wanted. So I think you're arguing to the wrong board.
How do I get wrong zoning? Do I hire a zoning attorney?
I can't tell you what to do or not to do.
I don't even know who to ask.
But I think you need to look at what we had recommended was denied. And so I think
I agree with that. But I still think for some reason, if it's zoned to build commercial in the watershed, something's gone wrong. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Any other public comment?
Can I just... There will be a public hearing because it has to go through site plan review. And if there, basically the Mitchell Creek watershed has 100-foot setbacks from the stream in the watershed. So, and the applicant has been made aware that we have such things as that, and I know the state has requirements for setbacks from wetlands too. That is what the current zoning is there, and places to the west and south and a little bit to the north. We all agree that Mitchell Creek watershed is very important. We have issues that we're already dealing with in regards to that, and trying to address both in terms of zoning, planning, water, sewer,
property rights, and
a variety of things, right? All those questions will come up during the discussion, but it's up when an applicant proposes something and submits an application, we have to give it all formal review and review it on all its merits, pluses and minuses and things like that, and we'll do that during site plan review when it comes, assuming he applies for it and it comes before us.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Hearing none, we're adjourned. Thank you.